101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Move. Cut.
Good evening, and welcome back to another episode of the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Of course, I am Johnny Athens, you are the listeners, and we're on radio. How we got here...
Hey, buddy!
I'll never know. Who? What was that?
Yeah, you. Come here, come here. Where are you off to, bud?
Me? 7-Eleven.
Uh-huh, 7-Eleven, eh?
Uh-uh.
No good. 7-Eleven, listen, I got something better than 7-Eleven.
What's better than 7-Eleven?
What? You think I'm crazy? 5-Eleven, buddy.
5-Eleven?
Yeah, shh. God, keep it down.
5-Eleven?
Yeah, 5-1-1. You know what that means, don't you?
No, I'm not sure what that means.
Listen, either you know or you don't. Don't waste my time.
Well,
So which is it, buddy? You know or you don't?
I guess I don't. I doesn't. I mean, I don't.
You don't, huh? Okay.
No, sorry.
All right, never mind. Move along.
But what's in that building? What's in 5-Eleven?
Listen, buddy. I told you, don't worry about it. If you know, you know.
And if I don't know,
then get out of here!
Thank you. Thank you, Dave Brubeck Quartet. That was Blue Rondo a la Turk. Well, my, oh my, what a start to the show we had. To think, you walk into your own studio and you're told to scram. This is how they tell you you're done in the radio business. They blindfold you, spin you around three times, and push you away from the microphone. Hey, did you hear this? Sony Pictures, the movie company, said it was pushing back a few of their films. Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. Don't know why they wouldn't call that the hop-along. Cinderella, the one starring singer Camila Cabello. Uh-huh, it's for the best. And Ghostbusters Afterlife was delayed from June to November. They decide to skip it over Halloween and release it in time for the horrifying Thanksgiving that will surely happen in America this year after a year and a half of not seeing your family. I suppose while we're waiting for all these sequels, though, and remakes to be shoved down the media glutton's gullet, I'll introduce our show, which is not pushed back today. Tonight, we have Jack Benny returns to tell us this time radio moments of comedy. But first, our band tonight is, of course, the symphonic Dave Brubeck Quartet, and they'll be playing some of their finest compositions. What's that? Oh, okay. The band says they'll take five now. Now? We only just started the program. We've got another 50 minutes. You can't take a break now. What am I supposed to do? You make up 30 minutes. Oh. Oh, I see. The name of the song is take five. Oh, I see. Yes, well, you really ought to name your songs better. After all, take five. Why not take six? Well rested after that one, are we? Yeah, you took 5 all right. I timed you. That was 5 minutes and 26 seconds. I'm docking that from your pay. The nerve of some musicians. Anyhow, welcome back to 101.5 The Hawk, the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Up next, we have Jack Benny reciting his rigorous prose from a foggy memory about just some of the best radio comedy moments from the Golden Age. You see, the Golden Age was before color TV, and in fact before color radio. Back then, radio was the explosive display of color you see before you today. No. Back then, it was just black and white. It played out like a chess game. But first, we have a very special guest on our program tonight. You see, we were told our show here at the studio isn't professional enough. It's not very non-amateurish. That is to say, this is a show that has everything, including the amateurs. So, to bring us up to par with the rest of the station, I decided there is nothing more formal or elegant than the opera. And who doesn't love a good opera on the radio? After all, why else tune in? For Taylor Swift? Dua Lipa? Some hot fresh take in the news today? A funny story? No. Surely opera is the professional and educated sound we need on radio today. Now this song comes from the opera Turandot, in which the character Calaf is singing to serenade the beautiful but cold princess, titularly named Turandot. In order to wed her, Calaf must answer 3 of her riddles, but if he gets them wrong, he will be beheaded. And like in many love stories, the man fails when his head is let down. The song is his reassurance that he will win the princess. From Puccini's Turandot, Enrico Caruso with Nessun Dorma.
Oh!
That was Enrico Caruso with Nessun Dorma. The man about to be beheaded for not knowing the princess already wore that dress out 3 times. Followed by Gone with the Wind by the Dave Brubeck Quartet. And gone they will be if they think they can get away with taking another 5. But the wind is blowing in the right direction and the show's moving along here. Shortly, Jack Benny will be coming back this week to share those golden radio comedy moments with Fred Allen, Fibber McGee and Molly, and much more. But first, here comes the quartet to redeem themselves with Somewhere. Thank you. That was Somewhere by the Dave Brubeck Quartet. And now is the time of the program we stroll on down to memory lane. The one memory lane that no one remembers, because it's all before our times. This was when TV was called the tube, because it was actually made with tubes. A 21-inch screen could make you the most popular man on the block. In fact, there are cell phones today that are larger than some of the first televisions. But I won't be the dusty old comedian and tell you some history. I'll leave that for Jack Benny. Today, Jack talks about another portion of radio's many avenues of programming, the radio comedian. Many comedic radio performers were survivors of vaudeville. When TV got popular, a lot of them got scared. After all, being on radio for years was like being handed money. You just stood there with paper in your hands. Though I can assure you, I am not doing that. I'm sitting.
One of the greatest names in radio comedy was, of course, Fred Allen. The famous Benny Allen feud went on for years, though Fred and I were close friends. Fred had a sharp wit and a sense of satire that has never been surpassed. We exchanged many visits on radio, Fred to my show and I to his. His ability to ad-lib was phenomenal. And one night, after a particularly hilarious Fred Allen ad-lib, I returned this line, which has been quoted time and time again. You wouldn't have said that if my writers were here. Fred's famous Allen's Alley is as fresh today as it was then.
The senator's home. I'll knock and see what happens.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn, that is.
I know you're from the South.
When I'm in New York, I'll never go to the Yankee Stadium.
Now, wait a minute.
I won't even go to see the Giants unless the South Pole's pitching.
Well, look.
I refuse to watch the Dodgers unless Dixie Walker's playing.
Now, wait a minute.
Stop interrupting. Where's your manners?
Manners? I have no
manners. Try listening. You might learn something.
Listen, all I'll ever learn.
Your tongue's wagging like a blind dog's tail in a meat market.
You're winded, hey?
Just sucking in some air, son.
Well, leave a little. I'm breathing, too, you know. Tell me, Senator, what is Washington doing about coal prevention?
The Senate reconvened just in time.
Yeah?
I was glad to see Senator Aiken back. Aiken back, that's a joke, son.
I know it's a joke. I know.
That was a scrawny fat split.
Listen, you don't know what it is.
I keep tossing them and you just sidestep them.
Well, look at this. Now, wait.
Say, you're a regular sad sack. Sack, that is.
Now, you wait. Tell me, cool off. Now, just a second. Do you have a favorite cure for a cold?
I caught a cold last week.
Yeah.
Like to ruin my filibuster.
Ruin your filibuster? What did you do?
I took an old southern remedy, son. I drank down 2 buckets of hot mint julep.
You drank 2 buckets of hot mint juleps and you still held the floor?
Held the floor? Son, I couldn't get up off it.
Well, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing this evening.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, Mr. Moody, you look a little tired.
I know. I was up all night. Couldn't get a wink.
You didn't sleep a wink?
No, it wasn't that. Somebody stole my tiddly.
Well, Mr. Moody, tell me, has this cold epidemic hit your farm?
My wife had a nasty cold.
Did you call the doctor?
Yeah. Go down, quack, give her sulfur and molasses. Put in too much sulfur.
Well, how can you tell he gave her too much sulfur?
When my wife sits in the dark, she glows.
Well, are you doing anything about it?
Why, Senator Claghorn, a foreigner next door, he sent me over a bucket of hot mint julep.
For your wife?
No, for me. Tonight I'm getting lit up to keep her company. Come on, Bob.
Looks as though Titus is going to get lit up on his weekend. Well, let's see what a knock here will start.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You're expecting maybe two la lula lula banquette.
No. Tell me, Mrs. N., have you had any colds in your house?
My husband, Pierre, is sick.
Oh, really?
They are maybe sending him to a clinic. The Meyer brothers.
Oh, the Meyer brothers. Well, didn't Pierre try any cold remedies?
Every day is a new remedy. First, he is bringing home fruit to drinking fruit juices.
What kind?
Oranges, grapefruits, tambourines.
Well, how long did he drink the fruit juices?
One day. Mm-hmm. Then Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the fruit.
Oh, he had another remedy?
Vitamins from vegetables.
Oh, good.
He's bringing home carrots, sprinkler beans, and rutabagos. Well,
how long did he try vitamins?
One day.
One day again.
Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the vegetables.
He had yet another remedy?
Absolute rest.
Oh.
You're staying in bed.
Uh-huh.
I am bringing meals. I'm bringing pills. I'm bringing hot water bottles.
Well, how long did this last?
One day.
And then?
I am opening up the window and throwing out Pierre.
We apologize for interrupting your program. The seasons are changing. The air is becoming thicker. The skies are gray all day. Soon enough, it will be slush and rain. That's right, the time of year when you just get backed up. When you can't get anything done or get anything out. That's right, tax season is flax season. And when you have tax, you just might be constipated. That's why we have Turbo Flax. It gets rid of all that nasty buildup and just lets it right out. Just add 3 scoops of Turbo Flax to 1/8 cup of orange juice, and you'll just fly through your day. Literally. Turbo Flax promises to make you move faster than a Boeing 800. The only skid marks you'll be leaving behind are in the streets, running fast from place to place. Turbo Flax, the flax for the busy man.
Who was it that said, well, you've got to take the bitter with the batter? Sure, you remember.
And the first day I met Jane, she was Jane Sherwood then. The first day I met her, she showed me newspaper clippings of all the plays she had been in at school. She read me how the school paper critic had praised her performance in Hamlet.
Jane Sherwood as the ghost was ghastly.
She read me a rave notice on her performance in Macbeth.
3 girls played the witches, and they were quite gruesome.
And there were many other similar triumphs through her 4 years in high school.
And there were many other similar triumphs through my 5 years in high school.
But she gave it all up to marry me and become just a plain little old housewife. But do you think she regrets it? Yes, she does, now and then. Even after 15 years of marriage, she started regretting it again the other evening after dinner.
Dear, do you think I know Anthony Marshall well enough to go next door and ask him to give me a part in his play he just finished writing and he's starting rehearsal tomorrow, it says here in the paper?
No.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say no. You're always throwing damp water on everything I want to do in the theater.
Look, damp, this is a professional play Mr. Marshall's putting on. You're only an amateur.
Well, I'll turn pro. I don't mind getting paid for it.
You don't.
We can certainly use the money.
Oh, now, just a minute. We live very comfortably in our modest way.
Well, it's time we started living immodestly.
Oh, hey, please. Is that why you want to become an actress?
Oh, when I read about these plays going into rehearsal, it does something to me. I get the smell of the old goose grease.
Mm.
I want to get behind the footnotes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see my name up in tights.
Look, runway.
Oh, what? Did I ever tell you the story
oh,
about...
Oh, no. You're not going to tell me that Mona Frisbee story again.
Mona Frisbee and I both won a school contest to go to Hollywood.
I know.
I married you.
I know you did.
But she went to Hollywood, and after 2 years of hanging around the studio, she married a cameraman and then got divorced. And now he's a waitress in a drive-in restaurant near San Francisco, and she's doing very well with tips.
I know that story, Jane. So what?
So what? So why couldn't I?
So bring me a hamburger, plenty of relish and no mustard.
No, I mean, so a neighbor of ours writes a play, and you say don't ask him for a part in it?
Well...
Do you know that every actress in town would give her right name to be in his play?
Jane, you're not an actress.
Smile when you say that, dear.
Jane, you're not an actress.
You, of all people, to say a thing like that to me, of all people. To think that I would rue the day to hear you say it. To me, dear. Me, the one who's desecrated her life to you.
Oh, fine.
All my life, I've worked my head to the bone to do things to please you.
Oh, now, Jane, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
I always take up for you. If somebody says you're sarcastic, I say he is not.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm sorry I even...
Why even tell people you're handsome?
Oh, isn't this all?
Well, what do you say to me? No, you can't do this. You can't do that. Stay home, you say. You're giving me an interior complex.
Oh, please, Jane, will you stop crying?
I can't stand it anymore. I'm through. I'm through. Do you hear me? I'm through.
Oh, Jane, don't carry on like that.
No.
Now, look, if you really want to try out for it, go and see him about the play. Is that all right now, Jane? Will you stop crying?
So I'm not an actress, huh?
What?
Not much I can't.
What?
Well, see you later, dear. I'm going over to see Tony about his play.
Isn't that all?
Yes, Jane and Goodman Ace. Goodman selected that excerpt for us as one he particularly treasures. Radio contributed many words and phrases to our vocabulary. When you said a person was a real Baron Munchausen, you had Jack Pearl and his famous character in mind.
Well, Baron, I'm delighted to see you.
Well, Charlie, of all the people in the whole world.
I haven't seen you in a long time. Where you been?
I just come back from the design.
Oh, you did,
yeah,
huh?
I just come back.
How'd you get over here?
I came over on a ship.
How was the food aboard the ship, Baron?
Food was just so-so.
Oh, just so-so.
You know something, Charlie? With every meal, I had to eat soup.
With every meal you had to eat soup?
I had to eat soup.
Was it compulsory?
You see, I was... Hello?
I say, was it compulsory?
No. Tomato soup.
Oh, tomato.
No, we didn't have compulsory.
Oh, say, by the way, Baron, just a moment. Did you know that Jimmy Durante has been looking all over this theater for you with a gun?
What do you mean? He's looking for me with a revolver?
What?
I say he's looking for me with a revolver.
With a revolver, yeah.
Why he's looking for me, why?
Well, he said that you called him a dirty name.
I called him a dirty name?
He said that you swore it.
Oh, what a liar. Yeah, fucking...
Now, don't get excited. You'll get high blood pressure.
No, not me. I'm anemic.
Oh,
no.
Sure.
Listen, Charlie, I give you my solemn word. I never called him a dirty name, and I never swore
well,
at him.
Well, then how did it happen?
Here's how that comes out, just like it was.
All right.
What day is this today?
Today?
Yeah.
Today is Sunday.
Sunday. That was 4 days back. That was Wednesday's. Yeah. You see, I'm going out with my...
Wait a minute. What day did you say?
Wednesday's.
No.
I was going...
You mean Wednesday?
Yeah, in the center of the week, like, you know.
Wednesday, named after the god Woden.
No. Wednesday's is named after Tuesday.
Oh.
Wednesdays, I was going in the country with my car.
I see.
Well, as I'm driving...
Wait a minute. Tell me, what time of the day was this?
Oh, this was maybe 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock a.m. or p.m.?
So I'm going... What?
I said, was it 9 o'clock a.m. or p.m.?
So I'm going out in my car.
Why don't you answer my question? Was it 9 o'clock a.m. or p.m.?
No. That's not nice.
What's not nice?
Now, I don't like that. Now, you hear that? Now,
what are you talking about?
Now, I know what that is. Now, don't say that.
You do. All right. Wait a minute.
Now, I don't like
it. You know what it is?
Yeah.
Well, what is it?
About the farmer's daughter.
No.
I don't like it.
Jack Pearl contributed Vajudeer Charlie to our language. Jimmy Durante added, I got a million of them. While Joe Penner offered, you nasty man, don't ever do that. And want to buy a duck? I guess we all used Molly's famous, "Tain't funny, McGee."
What are you reading, dearie?
Wimple's bird book. He left it here last night. And you never read such a miss of mass information in your life. It's awful.
Well, if it's that bad, why do you read it?
It's so garbled, it fascinates me. This book has got more wrong answers than a nervous housewife on Take It or Leave It. Look at the title, even. American Birds and Their Habits. They can't even spell habits, you see?
Where?
There.
Oh, that word isn't habits, dearie. It's habitats.
Oh. Well, what I want to know is what their habits are. Who cares where they have their habits at? Any bird lover who reads this would throw eggs at the publisher.
Say, when did you become such a bird lover?
Ever since the first time I had quail with wild rice.
What particular statement in that book are you quarreling with?
Well, listen to what it says about the feeding habitats of the pelican.
All right.
It says the pelican feeds occasionally on other things besides fish, but it definitely prefers marine life. Now, that is ridiculous.
Why is it?
There ain't a pelican living that could get in the Marines. Why? They even turned me down twice.
Dearie, that isn't what that means.
Huh?
Besides, I think you're being too critical. After all, you're not much of an expert on bird life.
Who ain't?
You ain't.
Huh?
I mean, you aren't.
Oh, the heck I aren't. Who was it worked his way through high school raising baby chicks and even invented a slot machine that would dispense them 2 for a quarter? And who was it that a chewing gum took his idea and beat him to the patent office?
What chewing gum?
Chiclets. That's why I say these people are right.
Come in.
Oh, it's Wallace Wimple. Hi, Wimp.
Hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks.
We were just reading your bird book, Mr. Wimple. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, not at all, Mrs. McGee. I'm glad to know where I left it. I'm afraid I was rather upset when I left here last night.
Yeah, we noticed that, Wimp. Yeah.
Why, did I do something?
Well, we had the radio turned on to a political rally.
Oh, I remember now. A deep voice snarled, Wallace is going to get the beating of his life. And I went right out the window.
Yeah.
Silly me.
Hey, how are you getting along these days with her, Wimp?
You mean Sweetie Face? My big old wife?
Yes.
About as usual. We had a little tiff yesterday, and believe me, Sweetie Face puts up a tough tiff.
What was it about, Wimp?
Oh, it was nothing, really.
No?
She came back from downtown with a new hairdo and asked me how I liked it.
Ben?
And I told her. Frankly, Sweetie Face, I said, it looks like an explosion in an Excelsior factory.
Oh.
I said, or a crew haircut with mutiny on the poop deck. I don't blame them for dyeing your hair, I said, but they waited too long to embalm it.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And then out loud, I said, it looks simply beautiful, dear.
My gosh, how could she object to that?
She knows me so well. She ignored the compliments on my lips and tried to slap the expression off my face. When I ducked, she... Oh, speaking of ducks, did you enjoy reading my bird book?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Confidentially, Wimp, this book is fuller of tripe than the inside of a cow.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. McGee. This is the finest bird book there is. This is the authority on birds. It tells about the dodo bird disappearing, the migratory habits of the snow goose, how the passenger pigeon became extinct.
Wait a minute. What was that again?
You mean about the passenger pigeon?
Yeah, that.
Well, it says on page 49, and I quote, The passenger pigeon, which once swarmed over the North American continent by the millions, has become completely extinct. The last known passenger pigeon died in the Cincinnati Zoo in 1914.
Exactly. That's just what I mean. That is a falsehood.
What do you mean, McGee?
I mean I saw a passenger pigeon today. I've seen one every day for weeks.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. McGee, if what you say is true...
And it is.
If you actually saw a real-life passenger pigeon, why any zoo in the country would pay thousands for one.
You mean thousands of money?
Thousands of dollars for one pigeon, Mr. Wimple? Are you sure it was a passenger pigeon, McGee?
Why, sure I'm sure it was a passenger pigeon. Hey, if they're worth that kind of dough, I could trap that thing and sell it for... Oh, my gosh, where's my hammer? Where's my tools? I gotta make a trap. Where's my screwdriver?
I don't know, Mr. McGee. I'm just a guest here.
Oh, I know. I left it right here in the hall closet.
No, don't open that door, McGee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Benny, for that wonderful trip down memory lane. It's incredible to see how far radio has come, how old the medium even is. Some of the programs of radio starting in the late 20s managed to survive into TV and then last to the late 60s. Could you imagine watching The Masked Singer for 50 years today? While they might not do that, today they do something much sneakier. The Masked Singer becomes the Masked Dancer. Then it becomes the Masked Magicians. All the way up until we're just watching the Muppets again. 101.5 The Hawk presented the Johnny Athens Variety Hour for another week. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I hope you join us again next Wednesday at 6. If you enjoy listening to my ramblings, please check out my other show on Ignite Radio, Fridays at 5. You can follow on Facebook at Johnny Athens Entertainment, or Instagram at johnny.athens. Special thanks to Cole Mertland, Marie Cassidy, Jack Benny, Enrico Caruso, and, of course, the Dave Brubeck Quartet. Here you go, boys, closing us out with Wonderful Copenhagen. Good night.
WDIOI 101.5 The Hawk.
Welcome
to
episode 37 of Ham
Il
O-E.
Hell yeah. Listener, are you listening? Where do you listen from?
I usually listen from my radio boombox in my living room.
Did we get started?
Yeah. Give us a little count in.
Sack.